Let's open with a word of prayer. Our Father, as we always do, we start our time together before your throne of grace. We come, Father, boldly this morning because you've invited us to. And Jesus, you're the trailblazer who opened the door and gave us access that we might come in, that we might come in with confidence, that we might come in because we are in Christ. And in Christ, we're righteous. We've been learning this in our Sunday school lessons these past weeks. And we thank you. And we come in because we are needy people. And we need grace to help us as we live our lives every day. We thank you for these lessons out of the Gospel of John. And I pray this morning that you will continue opening our eyes to see wonderful truths out of your word as we study together. We pray for our friend Vicki as she has her surgery on Tuesday. We pray also, I forgot to mention Cindy. I pray for Cindy as she prepares to go for a second opinion. What date, Cindy? 16th. God, we pray for you to give insight and wisdom to this doctor. We pray, Father, for healing for them. Lord, we pray for so many, many attached to our class who need your grace just to walk every day. They can't be here with us, and we pray for them. Now, Father, just speak very personally to our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I'm so glad you're here. We're going to be this morning in verses 12 through 15 in John chapter 16. Now, you know that John was Jesus' very best friend. They were the closest out of all the disciples. We're so indebted to John for recording for us chapters 13 through 17, which we're going to learn this morning was inspired by the Holy Spirit. They record the last night Jesus spent on this earth. These chapters are absolutely inexhaustible. I could teach on them for years, literally, but I'm not going to. They're like a bottomless well. They're an incomparable treasure, and I hope that the truths we've learned out of these two chapters have enriched your life. I know I've gotten a lot out of it. You know, I tell you all the time, I don't teach to you, I teach to myself. And I just hope you get something out of it too. And this morning, we find ourselves as we've been walking through chapter 15 and chapter 16 and in these verses 12 through 15. Now, I put them on your handout, and I want to read them to you, so let's just begin reading. Jesus is speaking here, and he's speaking to his disciples, and this is what he says. He says, I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Stop. Wait. I've got many more things I want to tell you, but I can't, you can't bear them now. I can't tell you now, but wait a minute, Jesus. This is your last night on earth, and you're fixing to die tomorrow. If you don't tell us now, when are you going to tell us? Does that question pop up in your mind? What is this hinting about? It's hinting, yes, he's going to die, but then what's going to happen? He's going to be resurrected. He will speak with them again. I've got many more things, but you can't bear them now. It's late. I've laid so much on you tonight. You can't bear anymore. Look at verse 13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative. But whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will disclose to you what is to come. Now underline that. What is to come? We're going to talk about that in a minute. Verse 14. He will glorify me. This is Jesus speaking. The Holy Spirit's going to glorify me, for he will take of mine And he's going to disclose it to you, the disciples. All things that the Father has are mine, Jesus says. Therefore, I said that he takes it mine, and he will disclose it to you. Now, this night began with a Passover meal in a rented room. After the meal, they sang a hymn together. And then they stepped out into the streets of Jerusalem, and they began to walk toward the Garden of Gethsemane. And during that walk, Jesus is instructing his faithful 11 disciples. He's given them many, many promises. He's talked to them about bearing fruit. He's talked to them about answered prayer. He's talked about them to them about having and living lives that have eternal influence. And during that walk, he talked mostly about love and all the gifts that heaven was going to be pouring out on them out of that love. And then when we came to verse 18 in chapter 15, the subject changed. And we find that while heaven is going to be pouring out gifts of love, at the very same time, the world is going to be pouring out hate. And Jesus told them, you're going to be persecuted. Why, you're going to be thrown out of the synagogues. You're going to be killed. And this is going to happen because you're not a part of Satan's world system, which hates you. It's going to happen because the world hated me, Jesus said. And now I'm going to be gone. And now you're here in my name. And now they're going to put all their hate on you. They're going to hate you because they do not know God. And it's because this world is cut off completely from the life of God. So the evening became very puzzling to the disciples. Very distressing. Very confusing. So this whole night is a mixture of the promises of love, and it's contrasted with this threat of hate and trouble and persecution and tribulation. And so they were so upset. And they were thinking to themselves, Jesus, how are we ever going to get to heaven? You said you were going to go there and prepare a place for us. We don't know where you're going. We certainly don't know how to get there. Jesus, you said you're going to give us peace and love and joy, but we don't feel it right now at all. In fact, we're terrified. We're distressed, and we're very anxious. You're leaving us, and you expect us to represent you and witness to the world, and now we're learning that that world is going to hate us and throw us out of the synagogue and kill us. How are we ever going to produce fruit in this hating world? How will our prayers be answered? Where will we ever get the power that we need to share the good news about the kingdom? And how on earth will there be any love and joy and peace in all that is facing us? Why, you aren't going to be here. You see, Jesus was their life. He was their everything. And so he tells them, yes, yes, it's true. I'm going to leave you. But I'm going to send somebody else. Now look on your handout. We've already seen verse 7. It was in our lesson last week. Jesus told them, it's really to your advantage that I go away. If I don't go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. How can it be to their advantage for Jesus to go away? That's exactly what Jesus is saying. And here's how. It's because if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit won't come. As long as I'm here, the Spirit is here in me. If I go away, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. This was the great promise, and it was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came in such power and magnificence. And the church was born on that day, and ever since that day, every individual Christian becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, in these last lessons, we've been seeing that what the Holy Spirit's job description is. And we said in our last lesson that he comes to do three things. So let's review by writing them down. Do you remember? He's going to convict the world concerning three things. Number one, sin. Write it down. He's going to convict the world of sin. Number two, he's going to convict the world of righteousness. And number three, he's going to convict the world of judgment. Now, in our lesson today, we're going to find the Holy Spirit is going to do something else. And so in these verses, 12 through 15, Jesus is speaking to us about what else the Holy Spirit is going to do. Now, I'm wondering if you have an idea about what Jesus is talking about here. So I want you to take a few minutes around your table and talk about what do you think Jesus is saying in these verses. What job is Jesus assigning to the Holy Spirit? See if you can figure it out. Now, I want you to think about the context. The context is always king when you study your Bible. So, I'm going to give you a minute to talk about it, and then I'm just going to give you the answer. So, go ahead. See if you can come up with what the Holy Spirit is talking about. The verses that are on your handout, verses 12 through 15. We underlined a key phrase. If it makes you feel better, I didn't see it at first. Here's the answer. I'm going to give you the answer, and then I'm going to prove it to you out of the scripture. Okay? We see so many good things the Holy Spirit does there, don't we? But here's the bottom line of what Jesus is telling the disciples the Holy Spirit is going to do. And write it on your handout. He's going to give us the New Testament. He's going to give us the New Testament. Did anybody see that in those verses? I tell you, I didn't see it at first. That's why studying the Bible is such an adventure. Now, what was the Bible that Jesus and the disciples, what was their Bible? The Old Testament. Now, we have to think Jewish. They had the Old Testament. They had the law. They had Moses and the prophets. Moses wrote the Pentateuch, which is the first five books of the Bible. And then they had the prophets, all of the prophets that are in the Bible. And then they had the Psalms. That was the writing of David. And that was their Bible. And you know what? Jesus believed in every word of the Old Testament. It was Holy Scripture. It was the Word of God. He upheld every word. Well, look at him speaking in Matthew 5:18 on your handout there. He says, truly, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law until it is all accomplished.
Now, I want to say something this morning. The Bible is one continuous revelation from Genesis all the way to the end of the Bible in Revelation. It's a chain that cannot be broken. But the Old Testament was particularly the Bible that Jesus and his disciples, the disciples had no clue they were going to write the New Testament. On this night, as they're standing with Jesus, this is what he's telling him. So Jesus believed the Old Testament to be the Word of God. Now look on your handout at 2 Timothy. There it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That word in the Greek means this. It means it's God-breathed. It's the Spirit breathing. It's the breath of God, which is the Spirit. It's God-breathed. And look at 2 Peter 1. No prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but notice, men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Who wrote the Old Testament? Well, it was written by the Holy Spirit through men who were moved by God, and they wrote down the Word of God. It's a living document. And so now this morning, we are coming to this passage, and the same Jesus who affirmed the Old Testament is now going to declare to his disciples the coming of the New Testament, which is also going to be authored by the Holy Spirit. This is what these verses are telling us. The Holy Spirit is going to give the revelation that will be used to convict the world. And the world is convicted, think about it, when someone stands and proclaims the New Testament gospel and preaches Christ crucified and Christ resurrected. And Jesus is telling his disciples here, the Holy Spirit is the author of Scripture, and there is more to come beyond the Old Testament. Now go back and look at our verses, and let me show you something. Go to verse 15. In that verse, I want you to circle the word Father. It refers to the Father. And then go to verse 13 and circle the word Spirit. We find the Spirit in verse 13. And then Jesus is speaking in these verses. So go to verse 14, circle the word me and mine, because he's the me that is referring to. And go to verse 15, and two times you're going to see the word mine. So what we have in these few verses is that the entire Trinity is involved in the revelation of the New Testament. These verses are often authenticating the New Testament before it was ever written. Now look at the end of verse 13. It says, the Holy Spirit will disclose what is to come. He is telling them, not all revelation from God was done in the Old Testament. There's more to come. And the Holy Spirit is going to put in our hands his revelation by which we can use to prosecute, indict, and convict the world. Think with me. Have you ever thought about it? Have you ever thought about how critical the New Testament is? Where would we be without it? We must have a truthful, valid record of Christ. And the New Testament is that record. The Bible is where Christ speaks. The Bible is where God speaks. The Bible is where the Holy Spirit speaks. So here Jesus is just going to give us a authentication of the New Testament. I can't even read my own writing. And it's all tied up in the Trinity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You and I have got to have the New Testament. If we don't have it, where are we going to find out for sure what Jesus did? what Jesus said, what Jesus accomplished. Now, you don't even think about this, but there are all these other extra biblical books that are floating around out there. They're called the Gnostic Gospels, and they have all kinds of lies. I'll give you one example. They say Jesus didn't have a real body. He was just a spirit. And it's just crazy theology. Well, why is that not true? It's because the New Testament has been put together and written by the Holy Spirit. And that is our document that we use. It is valid. It is true. And if we didn't have the New Testament giving us answers to all our questions, then we would be in a hopeless effort. We'd be lost if we didn't know the truth as revealed in the New Testament. Now go back to verse 12. Jesus says, I have many more things to say to you. Many more. Listen, guys, the revelation of God isn't over. There's more to come beyond the Old Testament. Now last week we covered verses 7 through 11. And write this down. We learned there the internal work of the Spirit of God. You see, the Holy Spirit has an internal work in our lives. It does a conviction in our hearts. But now we're talking about an external work of the Spirit. So write that next. And Jesus is saying, look, I'm going to produce the New Testament scripture, and that word is going to become your everything. Now, it's true that after verse 15 today, he's going to say a few more things to them before they get to the garden and he begins to pray. Then he will be arrested and he will be on the cross by 9 o'clock the next morning. That's not what he's referring to here. He's not, I've got a few more things to say. No, that's not what he's referring to. Whatever else I have to say, look back at verse 13, I think it is. He says, you can't bear it now. You just can't bear it, the things I want to tell you. Now, why couldn't they bear it? That's the question we want to ask. Let's look at that word bear. Let's write a meaning down. It simply means to pick up a stone with your hand. And so Jesus is saying, I have more truth, but it's heavy. You can't hold that stone right now because, write this down, it's too weighty. You can't handle it. It's just too weighty. It's too much for you to consider right now. And why is it too much for them to bear right now? And I have an idea, and I want you to write it on your handout. It's because their judgment is completely clouded by sorrow. By sorrow. Remember the verses we had last week? They were filled with sorrow. They had an idea that of their Messiah that didn't fit what was actually going on in present time. And we talked about this last week. You see, they thought that Messiah was going to come and conquer the world and set up his kingdom in Jerusalem and fulfill all the promises of the covenant immediately. And none of this was happening. And the point is this, right up until the death and resurrection of Christ, they didn't get it. There was a lot more Jesus wanted to say to them, but they were not in any position to receive any of it on this night. Luke 24 has some interesting things. This is the night, this is the afternoon of the resurrection of Christ. It's on a Sunday. And there were these disciples, and they were walking on a road. It was a road that was headed toward the little city of Emmaus. And they were moaning, and they were groaning. Jesus had died on Friday. This was Sunday. They were walking out of Jerusalem. And they said in Luke 24, they thought that Jesus was going to be their Messiah. Jesus joins these disciples, but he doesn't reveal himself to them. They don't know it's Jesus. And he begins talking with them, and they're telling him how they thought Jesus was their disciple. Look at verse 27. I pulled that verse out. Here's what Jesus did. Then beginning with Moses and all the prophets. Now, what am I talking about when I say Moses and all the prophets? I'm talking about the Old Testament. So, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, this is what Jesus did. He explained to them the things concerning himself in all of the scripture. He went to all the Old Testament passages and sections that spoke about what was going to happen to their Messiah. And it dawned on them as they're walking that Jesus was their Messiah. You know what? They came to a place and they said, come on in with us. And they sat down to eat and Jesus revealed himself and they recognized him and it says he disappeared. Well, these disciples ran as fast as they could to the other disciples who were all locked up in a room together. They were telling them all about what had happened on the road. And then guess what happened? Jesus shows up in that room. This is still Luke 24. Look on your handout at verses 44 and 45. Now Jesus said to them, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scripture. You see, he explained the Old Testament. He showed them that he had actually fulfilled all of Scripture. And their lights were coming on. This is a wonderful verse to pray for yourself. Jesus, would you open my mind to understand the Scriptures like you did those disciples? It wasn't until after the cross and after the resurrection that the disciples began to really get a handle on what was going on. And they didn't fully grasp it all until Jesus taught them out of the Old Testament. And then, 40 days later, after Jesus was with them for 40 days, instructing them, he ascended into heaven, and then the Holy Spirit came. And at that time, their minds were fully illuminated. So here in John 16, Jesus says, oh, I have so much more to tell you. I have a whole New Testament's worth to tell you. Everything from Matthew to Revelation, but you can't handle it tonight. I can't even get you up to where you should be tonight, let alone the things that are beyond that. So there's a profound need for the New Testament, which is the rest of the story. That is what they needed. Well, let's ask this question. What will be the extent of this Holy Spirit revelation of the New Testament when it comes? Look at verse 13. But when he, the Holy Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. There it is. All the truth. What does the Holy Spirit contain? How much truth? You tell me. All the truth. Not some of the truth. Everything you need for life and godliness is contained in the New Testament. Now in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy 4 and Deuteronomy 12, there's this warning. It says, don't add anything to this scripture and don't take anything away. That's the Old Testament. And then you come to Revelation, the very last chapter, and guess what John says through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit? Don't add anything to this and don't take anything away. You see, all the truth we need is in the Word of God. And it's the Holy Spirit that will guide us into all truth. Now look on your handout. Let's go back to chapter 14 of John and look at verse 26. Now study your Bible with me. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, notice what he's going to do. He will teach you what? All things, and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Do you know what that's telling us? Have you ever wondered, how did they remember everything Jesus said? How did they know what he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane? Because they were asleep. Do you remember that? How did John know the words? That whole prayer is the longest prayer in the Bible. It's recorded in chapter 17. You see, they supernaturally remembered because of the Holy Spirit's inspiration. And they wrote down everything Jesus did and everything Jesus said. These apostles wrote it, and also not just them, but there were some associated with them. They had a Holy Spirit-inspired remembrance. And then the Holy Spirit's going to inspire the story of the church. It comes in Acts. And then the Holy Spirit is going to inspire the theology of the gospel. That comes in the epistles. And then the Holy Spirit is going to inspire the great book of Revelation. It's all the truth. It's from the virgin birth all the way to the eternal state. From Matthew chapter 1 all the way to Revelation chapter 22. The Holy Spirit gives us all the truth. Now, as you pick up your Bible this morning, you have a document in your hands. It is a document that was written by the Holy Spirit. It is the Word of God. Yes, He's put on display in the Old Testament. It is the Word of the Son. He's put on display in the four Gospels. And it's the Word of the Holy Spirit. He's put on display in Acts and through the epistles. And we have the resident teacher within us who guides us into all truth. Let's pick up in verse 13. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak and will disclose to you what is to come. Did you notice the Holy Spirit is not the source of it? Who is the source? Well, in that verse, it tells us God is the source. So write that down. He's going to speak what he hears from God. And not only God, if you jump down to verse 14, it's also going to be what Jesus. Jesus is also the source. He's going to take up mine, Jesus said, and disclose it to you. Actually, the whole Trinity is involved. Now, I want to ask you a question this morning. Don't answer it out loud. But answer it in your heart. Do you believe, listen to me now, that every single word of the Bible is true and inspired by God? Do you believe that? Do you believe that the whole Bible is without error? Not one error in it? Well, Teresa, I don't know if I believe that. I mean, I heard somewhere that, yeah, there's some contradictions. Well, if I don't believe it, then somebody is a liar. Somebody's a liar. Is it God who lied in the beginning, or is it the Son who lied, or is it the Holy Spirit who lied to the apostles? If the apostles lied, then the Holy Spirit failed, and every word is not inspired by God. You can't have it both ways. Either it is or it isn't. But I want to say to you this morning, Scripture claims that every word of the Bible is inspired by the Holy Spirit to such a degree that you are not allowed to add anything to it or take anything away. And if you say there is an error in it, then you've assaulted the Trinity. What is the purpose of this? Write it down. It is to glorify Jesus. We see that in verse 14. It is to glorify Jesus. He just dominates the New Testament. I'm having to hurry because we're out of time. Let's close by saying this. What a book. What a book. You know, I'm studying this lesson and I just get this awe about what I'm holding in my hands. This book. This inspired book. It is an anointed book. What a gift has been given to us. It is God-breathed. And not only that, we have the very author of the book living within us, and he becomes our resident teacher. Look at 1 John as we close. 2, verse 27, John says, as for you, the anointing which you received from him abides where? In you. And you have no need for anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches us about all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you abide in him. We have everything we need in this book. Now, I'm hoping this morning, look at me, I know it's noisy, but I want to say something as in closing. I'm hoping that these lessons have helped you adore and worship the Holy Spirit. Can you articulate to somebody, what does the Holy Spirit do? You know, where would you take someone if they asked you, where do I go in the Bible to learn about the Holy Spirit? Where do I go? John chapter 15 and 16. You have everything you need to know. We've gone deep in God's Word. Now spend some time meditating on what we've learned. Tell the Holy Spirit how much you appreciate Him. Acknowledge that He's in you. You know, you're having a hard time. Stop and say, no, you're here. You're in me. You're the source of everything I need. I have everything I need right here in me. Life gets tough. We have what we need, girls. Believe it. Learn that. And praise God for it. Amen? Let's pray. Oh, Holy Spirit, how we adore and appreciate and praise you this morning for your work. God, there you are, seated on your throne. In Christ, there you are, by his right hand. And your glory is filling that room in heaven. And yet, here the Holy Spirit is in me, in us, on earth, in the church. Stir us up to be a glorious church. Stir us up to be a thankful people, a grateful people, a people who praise you for all you've done. And thank you for the Bible. Amen. Thank you for this document, this living document. Help us not to take it for granted. May we treasure it. May we learn it. May we read it. And may we obey it. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'll see you next week.